And you may be seated, and welcome to Sunday Celebration. Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. And we're just excited for this Sunday Celebration this morning because we have it's a special Sunday, as Eric mentioned. This is what we're calling our Vision Sunday, where we're going to kind of lay out the vision of our church for this upcoming year and where we feel that the Lord is leading us and guiding us for this upcoming year. And as the beginning part of this Sunday Celebration, I thought it would be fitting for us actually to recognize the new members of our church. Every 3 or 4 months, we have an opportunity for members or for people to become members of our church as they get plugged in, as they get involved in perhaps life group or get introduced to our church here at Sunday Celebration. We really put a high value on committing to membership. And a lot of times we're like, well, do we have to like sign our name to be a member of the church, and you know, all these kinds of things. And different churches do it different ways, but in our church, we really value that sign of commitment. You know, I don't need to necessarily stand before a pastor and a church and just to get married to my wife. I don't need to wear a ring to be married to my wife. But those things are important symbols and important actions that display what we're committing to. And so as well, today we're inviting a handful of new members and officially recognizing them as members of our church. So this morning, can we just all give the new members a hand as they kind of all come up here? And they're going to sign the covenant before the rest of the church. And while we do that, I just want to address our church. And what I mention and what I teach in membership class is that the mission of our church answers the question: why do we exist as a local church? Why do we exist? Why do we do what we do? And why are we here? And you're going to hear this a lot in our church if you've already heard it a lot, and something that we say a lot. The mission of HMCC of Jakarta is to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. That's why we exist. That's why we believe God has brought us here to Indonesia to see how Jesus transforms lost people into Christ's disciples who will transform the world. And we want to see that happen. Whether you, some of us, we are not believers in Jesus Christ yet. You know, some of us, we don't believe in Jesus. We don't believe that Jesus has died for us and saved us. But now, that's something that God is putting on your heart. For many of you, you were already believers, okay? And you started coming to our church for whatever reason. You did not have a home church because you moved to the area and you're trying to find a church to be a member of. And you've, by faith, I believe that many of you have been experiencing this refreshing message of the gospel into your souls. And it's been good for you. You've been growing in your walk with God. That's what I hope for. That's what I believe is happening in many of our lives. There are, in fact, some of us here who were not believers before, but once you started coming out to Sunday Celebration or life group, or just started interacting with some of the members of our church, and as they shared the gospel with you, that's something you realized that you wanted. That you realized that's something that God was calling to you to begin, this vital relationship with Him. And for all of us, no matter how you got into our church, no matter what stage you are in our church, we believe that this is what God has called us to do. And so calling all of these brothers and sisters here to be members of our church. And, you know, they're here before you now, standing in front of the congregation. And I just want to start out this this morning by praying for them and just us as a church kind of stretching out our hands. There's nothing magical about stretching out our hands, right? I always have to make that disclaimer because sometimes we think, is something going to, like, zap, come out of our fingertips? Nothing like that. It's just, we're just connecting with them, all right? Like, if you don't really feel like doing it, that's okay. You don't have to do it, but for all of us who feel okay doing it, can I just ask you to close your eyes, stretch out your hands towards these brothers and sisters, and let me just pray on behalf of our congregation and lift them up. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing in our church. Lord, thank you for the gospel message, this incredibly great news that Jesus Christ came down to this earth to seek and save lost people like us, that you went to the cross, and through the cross there is forgiveness of sins, there is removal of all our guilt and shame, and it's something that can be given over and over again as we walk with you. Thank you for your resurrection power that gives us new life. And in the life that you give us now, Lord, we pray that we will live it to the fullest. We pray that we will live lives that would honor you. And as we as a church commit to that, committed to following you, committed to each other and helping one another follow you, God, I pray for these brothers and sisters who are officially joining HMCC of Jakarta. And I pray that they would grow in their relationship with you. They would grow in their understanding of the gospel message. That they would grow as disciples of Jesus Christ who live out your call in a radical way and who influence our city and our nation and our world for your glory. Lord, we know that's such a high calling. We know that that seems so lofty and so impossible even. But God, as we are led by your Spirit, God, as a church, that's what we're going to experience you to do. And I pray that these brothers and sisters would experience you in greater ways as they are part of this body. So God, we love you. We thank you for each and every one, a single one of them, God. We pray for your Spirit to fill them and anoint them in this life through the good times, through difficulties. Pray that you'll strengthen them and help them be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Can we just give them a hand? You know, this is actually the start of our fifth year as a church. Part of me can't believe that because time has gone by so quickly. And, you know, some of us, we've been here from the beginning. A very small number of us have been here from the very beginning. But many of us, we've been here for, you know, for just 1 year or 2 years. And so one of the things that we're really trying to do is, especially at the brink of this fifth year of our church, is we really want to just get us all on the same page, and we want to just get everyone pointed in the same direction of where we're going to be moving as a church. You know, our mission always stays the same. It's been what we've been what has been keeping us focused over the last 5 years of our church, and it's pretty simple. Let me just break it down. It's really we exist to reach out to people who don't know Jesus and to witness how Jesus transforms them. And then what we want to do is walk them through this process that God takes them on to make them into followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus. And then we want to train and empower and release us as radical disciples of Jesus to serve and to influence the world. As part of this church, you are all part of this church's mission. I know some of us, we're just kind of getting acclimated to our church. Some of you, you're like, well, I missed this membership class. When am I going to have a chance to become a member? Well, you will have a chance about every quarter or every 4 months or so. We will offer a membership class. For all of us who already have taken membership and we've been members before, at the end of this service, we're going to actually have a time for you to renew your covenant. And we do that every year. For those of us who are members of the church, so that we want to be active members, all right, not like default members, where we're like, well, I haven't gone to the church in like 4 years, but I'm on the membership roster of the church, and you know, I think that's one way to look at membership. But really, I want to just see who is really on board in our church and who's going to be moving with us, and so we need to ask ourselves some important questions. Why do I exist as part of this local church? Why do I exist as a follower of Jesus Christ? What's my mission? How does my mission fit into the role of the local church? So today's sermon will be much different than a normal sermon that you hear at a Sunday celebration, because I'm going to just preach from one verse from a text of Scripture that encapsulates who we are and what we're going to be doing this year. And it really answers the question is of what is our calling to follow Jesus Christ? And what is our calling as a church as we follow Jesus Christ together? Why do we exist? I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. That's the verse that we're going to be looking at and we're going to be studying today. And from this verse, we'll see two aspects of our calling. First, we're going to see that our calling includes our identity in Jesus Christ. And second, our calling includes our responsibilities as His people. So first, our identity in Jesus Christ, and then our responsibilities as His people. Let's go ahead and read it. If you don't have a Bible, the passage will be up here as well. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let me say that. Read it again. For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here's the one thing that I want us to take to heart on this Vision Sunday, and that I want us to carry out and strive to carry out this year as a church, as our call as Christ followers. It's let's live out our calling to proclaim Jesus Christ's excellencies in the world. Let's live out our calling to proclaim Jesus Christ's excellencies to the world. So let's take a look at part one. Our calling includes our identity in Jesus Christ. I'm going to just share a few overall observations about Peter's teaching here, okay? First, Peter is addressing a persecuted church, but he wanted them to know who they were, okay? This is really important because Peter really was addressing a church that was existing in a very hostile environment at the time. Living in the Roman Empire, living in a world that was very anti-Christian, living in the world where there was a lot of promiscuity, a lot of idolatry and these kinds of things. And it was very tempting to go with the flow, especially when Christians were being pointed out and identified as people who were not going with the status quo of perhaps worshiping Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire. Verse 8, it says, the beginning of verse 9, it says, but, right? But is always important because it really contrasts something. So this contrasts verse 8, those who are identified as people who rejected Christ, people who disobeyed the word of God, and people who have chosen, no matter what kind of experience and exposure to the gospel that they once had, they chose to go with the flow and stop following Jesus. Okay? And it's very easy to do that. But what Peter's calling them to do really is to live against the flow and to live as people who are existing above all of this stuff, right? I played soccer when I was in high school. And our first couple of years when we were underclassmen, our team wasn't very good, okay? And one of our arch rivals, their team was like the best team in the area. So they were really good, okay? Like, they would blow us out like 10 to nothing. If you know anything about soccer, what their coach would do eventually, because they were so good and they were like killing every team, basically blowing every team out, the coach said, okay, team, you need to play one touch for the rest of the game. What that means is when they get the ball, they're supposed to pass it right away. They're not supposed to dribble it, okay? I mean, so, and if they did, you know, touch it once and then pass it, if they touched it more than once, they would get benched, right? And so here they are. They're playing one touch throughout the whole game with us, okay? And we're like trying to run around and we're terrible, okay? And this team was exceptional. They played together since they were young. They were all good. They knew the fundamentals. They were excellent passers. And they would blow away every team. So our only chance, our only hope to beat this high school team was to hope that they would play down to our level, okay? What that means is we're playing bad, and hopefully we catch them on a bad day where instead of playing up to their level, they play down to our level, right? And some teams would even resort to saying, hey, we're going to play dirty so that they begin playing dirty. Instead of playing at this level, they're going to play down to our level. Okay, so that was kind of the only hope that we had back in the day to try to at least compete with this team. And this is really how Satan was trying to tempt the believers and the church of this day. They were trying to, he was trying to bring them down to live at a lower level than their identities were, okay? He was trying to tempt them to live below their identities. And what Peter is exhorting the believers to do is he's basically saying, there are people who have rejected Jesus, but this is who you are, and you ought to live at this level according to your identity. Peter established a group identity here. So this is the second principle, or second observation. Peter established a group identity here. All of these aspects of identity are all for one, okay? They're all in the plural. They're all referred to a group of people, not just individuals, but they all refer to a group of people, race, priesthood, nation, people. These are not individuals. These are groups of people, okay? No matter what they thought of one another within the church, they were all bound together by their identity in Jesus Christ. It's like an orchestra, okay? The church is like an orchestra, okay? It's not like it's not a one-man band. It's not everyone playing the same instrument. It's an orchestra with all different kinds of instruments, in the strings, in the brass, in the woodwinds, in the percussion, and there's a group of people. And as they make their own noises, okay, as they make their own music, they're all synchronized to the same piece of music, and they're making music that's bigger than themselves. Do you see that? And what Peter is saying is, you are part of this group, okay? Not just an individual, but you are a part of this group. Third observation is that Jesus Christ is the giver and the authority behind their identity. Without Jesus, Scripture is very clear of who we are, that we are hopeless in our status before God. Let me just give you some references. Romans 5:10 says that we're enemies of God. Ephesians 2:3 says that we are children of wrath. Romans 6:20 says we are slaves to sin. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says we are blinded in our minds. This is a very sorry picture of people who do not have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the gospel is that Jesus gives new identities through his bloody crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. This new identity is stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, our status changes from being enemies of God, children of wrath, slaves to sin, blinded in our minds, now to be this new creation in Jesus Christ. And one thing that's very important about this is our identity as believers in Jesus Christ is not something that's earned. It's not something that is just we earn because of how good we are, or how good-looking we are, or how talented we are, or how religious we are. Our identity is granted to us by God, by his grace and mercy. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's not given to us because our parents are believers. It's not given to us because we attend church. It's given to us only by God himself, who gives it to us freely as a gift. All right, now Peter stated the privileged identities that believers have in Jesus Christ. Let me explain the four parts of our identity. First, they are a chosen race. Peter said that they are a chosen race. The phrase can be translated as a selected spiritual family, okay, or a specially loved lineage of people. It's funny, right, because human beings, we can't choose our family, right? We can't choose our parents. We can't choose our siblings, although I think some of us would have liked to. But we can't. But God can. God can and does choose his children, and he loves his children. And those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are part of the same family, whether we like it or not, because God loves us. That's it. Second, they are a royal priesthood. They are a royal priesthood. This is a key concept in the Reformation era, a very important time of Christian history, where this change of paradigm, change of mindset that said, instead of us going to God through a professional clergy, every single believer in Jesus Christ has direct and immediate access to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ. This describes a body of believers who are accessing Christ by making sacrifices and by interceding. That is the role of a priest. In the Old Testament, a priest is someone who makes the sacrifices and who lifts up the prayers. And what Peter is saying is he's saying you as the church, you as the body of believers are all a priesthood who are called to make sacrifices, who are called to intercede for the world and for the nations around you. Third, they are a holy nation. They are a people group made righteous by Jesus and dedicated for God's special use. That's the word, when you think of the word nation, it's talking about a people group bound together by common language and culture, and blood, language. And it is this people group that is holy, that's set apart, that's made righteous through Jesus Christ, and set apart for God's special use. They were committed to exclusively obey and love their King and their Savior. Fourth, they are a people for His own possession. The phrase means a people who are a peculiar possession and acquisition. Do you see that? They're an acquisition. Jesus Christ bought us through His blood. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us to purchase our souls. This means that they belonged to God. And they are, what does that mean? What does that imply? That means that they're secure. That means that they're valuable. That means that they're always His. So, how will we be this kind of church that grasps her God-given identity? As part of our vision, how will we as a church begin to grasp our God-given identity as a chosen race, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a people for His own possession? First, we must grasp who our Lord Jesus Christ has made us through the church. Through the church. I kind of think of it like this. You know, my kids are pretty young. And so, you know, because we have a limited supply of monetary resources, right? So what we have to do is when we buy our kids clothes, and maybe you've experienced this when you were younger, when we buy them clothes, we don't buy clothes that fit them perfectly, right? Because after like 2 months, the clothes are going to be too small for them, right? And so we buy shoes and we buy shirts and pants that are slightly bigger for them, okay? Not like huge for them, but just bigger for them so they have room to grow, right? And for us, we have, God gives us our identity, and our identity is pretty lofty, you know, pretty like out there. And what we have to do as a church is we have to grow into them. We need some time and we need some space to grow into our identity. And we are on a path to grow into our identities in Jesus Christ this year. Let me just share how we approach our executive team. We approach our ministry year. We have something called a ministry year cycle that we've kind of come up with over the past few years of doing ministry. We realize that there's three parts in a ministry year. So ministry year starts usually around September, and it goes all the way up until August. And then once the new school year starts for UPEHA, that's when we kind of have a new school year, a new ministry year as well. This is all approximations, okay? So just think of it as a model rather than like as specifics, okay? If you look at it, we look at September over here, September through December, as a gathering, okay? This is when we're gathering people so that they can experience God, so they can experience God's grace, they can experience God's holiness and God's presence in corporate worship, in life groups, in other gatherings that we have. We want people to experience God that way. We want people to understand what it means to be part of a local church, Okay, that's what we do generally in the first 4 months of our ministry year cycle. Okay, when we get to January through April, that's our growing season. Okay, that's when we disciple one another. We're focused on getting deeper in our relationships with God and getting deeper with one another. That's when life groups get deeper. They build stronger relationships. They get the conversations move past just superficialities into deeper spiritual issues and helping people grow, all right? And then there is the third part of the ministry cycle, which is go, okay? So that's May through August. That's when we really focus in on sending people out, being missional. You know, as our church, we've been gathering, growing spiritually, then we want to send people out. We want to make sure that they're sharing the gospel. And as a church, we want to mobilize people to be missional. We want to mobilize people even to do missions projects, okay? Now, there are some specific events throughout the year that we do intentionally because they fit into the flow of our year, okay? So let me explain some of the big events that are happening this year. Number one, so you can plan ahead. And number two, so you know why we're having them. Okay, they're not random occurrences in our year, but they're things that we do because we see that this is how God leads and works in our church through a given year. So first, when we look through September through December in our gathering times, you see that we have OCR. You know, this year we had OCR 2013. We're gathering students to experience community, right? Just try it. That's what we say, right? Just try what community. Just try what Jesus' love is for you. Just try what it means to be in relationships with God and with one another. We have our H Games this upcoming Saturday when life groups bond. They have friendly competition with each other, right, with other life groups. Usually these kinds of things, they bring life groups together, especially for the life group that wins. I always notice life group that wins, it's going to be a good year for you, right? Life groups that come in last, it's going to be a good life group for you. It's going to be a great life group for you, right? So either way, it will be great, but to have some friendly competition. And one of the big things that we're really emphasizing in our gathering season is Unite, where we're gathering our university students, and we want them to really experience the power of God. We want them to experience and taste how good Jesus is. And we're looking at this as an opportunity for many university students to come to faith in Jesus, to recommit their lives to Jesus, and just to realize how awesome Jesus is and to live for him the rest of the year, to commit themselves to following Jesus and getting to know him better. When we get into the grow season, January through April, we have something called the One Desire Fast. For the last several years, we have a season of fasting for our church. And when we do that, we're really trying to, you know, we're basically trying to fast from those things that distract us from Christ. And then we feast on Jesus. And we have a focused time when we do that. This year, it will be about 2 weeks in the beginning of January. So when we get back from our holidays and all these things, we're going to have a time of fasting. And that will be a good time for our church and personal things that you have to pray through, you have to decide upon, that you're going through. It's a good time for you to focus on Christ as well as corporately to be praying and fasting together. It will culminate, the end of our One Desire Fast, we will have a revival meeting this year. So instead of last few years, we've had a congregational retreat where we go off in Bogor or somewhere else, and we have a retreat for our church. This year, we're trying to do things a little bit different because we want to capture a greater percentage of our church. We realize that going to a retreat on the weekend, sometimes it takes time, it takes money, and we know that sometimes that limits the people who can come out to this, you know, big gathering or important gathering in our church. So instead of having a retreat, we're having a revival weekend for our church, where it's going to be held locally here. It's going to be held Friday night and all day Saturday. There's going to be different things that are going on, which we're working on right now. We don't have all the details planned out, but we'll definitely have worship services Friday night and Saturday, and it'll end on Sunday. We have a guest speaker. He's a pastor. He used to be actually my old pastor from my church. when I was a university student, so I'm really excited to have him to visit our church. He's been doing ministry, church ministry on a university campus for over 20-plus years. And so I'm excited that he's going to be joining us and serving us that weekend. And so that's our growing season. And obviously Lent and Easter is a time where we, I don't know, sometimes our coordinators, our executive team, we laugh, right? Because we're like, man, we fast a lot in our church. We have our One Desire fast. And then sometime in February is Lent starts. Actually, I think this year it starts in March. And then Lent will go all the way up until Easter. And then we celebrate with Easter baptism, Easter celebration. And so that's our growing season. And then finally, when we get to our going season, May through August, we will have our adult missions project and our student missions project. So this year, although our dates are tentative, our adult missions project will be in June. And our student missions project will have one in July and one in August, where we are tangibly sending out people in our church to go. God willing, we'll be sending teams to Papua this year and continuing in transforming Papua's communities, which I'll share a little bit more about later. And then it will end, our ministry year will end with the beginning of the next ministry year cycle, which is with Operation Campus Reach 14. Okay. Now these are not just activities that we do just to do activities. Okay. These are things that supplement what we do on a regular week to week basis. Okay. These are objectives that we have. We want to see transformation in the big events that we have, as well as in the weekly gatherings and the weekly grind of being church. And I don't really want to downplay how important these weekly things are, because a lot of what church is it's not just the big events, but it's the small things that we do on a weekly basis. And you know, just to show a slide of our weekly meetings and how this fits into our strategy, I showed this before. Is we have these four main gatherings in a week. Okay, the first two, Sunday celebration and life group, that's really our bread and butter. It's our basic stuff that we have. Every week, we have Sunday celebration. Every week, we have life groups that go on where we're building community. It's through these that people can, pre-Christians can get plugged into life groups where they can grow by joining LCG and other things like that. And as they grow, they continue to grow. And we see this process here of discipleship where some people will be called into church leadership, which is our team community, where there's further training and equipping for people who are called to be leaders in our church, as well as discipleship groups. These are groups that are, you know, we're calling men and women who will really commit themselves to growing and accountability for the upcoming year. So these are things that we do together. And just to highlight the discipleship groups, the men's discipleship group is called Band of Brothers. And instead of me sharing about what Band of Brothers is, our brother Arvin to actually share his experience from Band of Brothers. So we're going to have a few testimonies during this Vision Sunday. And so sometimes it's kind of nerve-wracking when, like, you have to give a testimony. So when they come up, can we, like, give them a smile and, like, kind of applaud? We're not applauding them, right? But we're just encouraging them, right? We're, like, saying, yeah, you can do it, all right? So can we just give them a round of applause? Arvin.
My name is Arvin. So I've been joining Band of Brothers, I think, for the last 2 years. So I'm still in the process of learning what it means to be a real man. But I'm thankful for this Band of Brothers that model and strive together to be men of God. I used to think to be born a man is not that big of a deal. I just need to do good things and make everybody happy. There's also the example that I have growing up. My dad is a very nice guy and really been a fight, especially with my mom. Every time there is things to deal with, it's always my mom who takes care of everything, and my dad never gets into argument with my mom. I learned that silence is gold through this. If I don't say anything, there's nothing hold against me. I live my life avoiding problems, but I'm thankful that there are brothers who mentor me and told me that being silent and make no decision is making a decision. Looking back now, I can see now that I have no right at all to complain for the things that are happening in my life because I'm not even addressing it, less making a decision. I'm naturally an introverted person, but this is not an excuse for me to be being passive. I also grew up used to have everything done for me, but I remember joining ministry team, but never show up, just because I thought I have tons to do and I just don't care. But through our BOP, I just also learned to reject passivity in these areas and model Jesus' leadership, which is to serve, not served. I'll see these brothers who are different. Yes, they are not perfect, but they live their life with a purpose. And they are modeling what Jesus does and also what they said to me. They also spend time intentionally with me. When I reflect, I can see that I'm one of that hard person to deal with. I cancel meetings like an hour before the meetings. I'm being supervisional in several of your meetings, but they are faithful to me, you know. They were also risking a friendship that we built, telling me honestly and courageously I was making mistakes and tell me things that I need to work on. Not in a judging way, but for my own benefit. I also grateful for these brothers who did that, also lead by the examples, you know. I'm so glad that I'm striving, I'm falling and bouncing back up, not on my own, but I'm striving with these brothers together. So,
like Arvin said, you know, it's not really just events that we have or activities as a church. What we really want to see is transformation in our lives. We want to see how Jesus tangibly works in us and changes us. Sometimes that process is very fast. And for most of us, though, that process is step by step, very slow. And that's something that we have to commit ourselves to in the weekly grind of life group, Sunday celebration, discipleship group, leadership team, and anything that we're doing. Let's go ahead and take a look at the second part, which is our calling includes our responsibilities as his people. Our calling includes our responsibilities as his people. Peter stated the responsibilities entailed in being Jesus Christ's disciples. The church was given their identity for a purpose, and that purpose was to proclaim Jesus Christ. I'm going to get all grammatical on you, okay? The prepositional phrase "in order that," okay? There's a preposition there, it says "that," right? "In order that" indicates a purpose, okay? That there is a responsibility. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that, or in order that, you may blink, right? There is a purpose that God has given us in our identity, and that purpose is to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. As Uncle Ben told Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, By the way, I think some people often mistake this as a reference from the Bible. It's not in the Bible, okay? Spider-Man's uncle said this, okay? With great privileges come great responsibilities, okay? That's Spider-Man's translation of 1 Peter 2:9. With great privileges come great responsibilities. Believers with their privileged identities now have responsibilities, right? Now we have responsibilities. Actually, the Apostle Peter, not Peter Parker, but the Apostle Peter, in his letter of 1 Peter, he gives two responsibilities, okay? 1 Peter 2:5, he says, you're a royal priesthood, therefore you're to offer spiritual sacrifices, okay? They are called to worship God in their lives. As believers in Jesus Christ, we don't need somebody to be our intercessor. We worship Jesus in everything that we do. That means in the workplace. That means when we're home alone. That means when we're at church. That means when we're at life group. That means in any and every situation, we're called to worship God as a holy priesthood. Also, in our verse for today, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, we are to witness, so not just to worship, but to witness, to proclaim the excellencies of him. We're going to focus on this in our text, which says that they are to proclaim the excellencies of their King, Jesus Christ. The word used for proclaim means to publicize, means to declare about, it means, or declare abroad, it means to celebrate, okay? It means basically you're talking about him all the time. You're tweeting and Instagramming and Facebooking about Jesus all the time. The word used for excellencies means the good qualities, the virtues, the uprightness of that person. Okay, so we are supposed to proclaim the excellencies, not just the excellence, not just one, but the excellencies. There's many great virtues, many great things about Jesus that we can proclaim to people around us. Our problem, all right, our problem often lies in three things. The reason why we do not proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ, I think oftentimes it's just plain ignorance. We just don't know Jesus well enough in our lives. We don't know how excellent he is. I think that's a small problem because I think these other two are bigger problems. I think for many of us, we are struck with this apathy. We think we know who Jesus is, but we're so familiar with Jesus. We're so familiar with him. We've grown up with him or we think that we know him. And it puts us to sleep. Instead of getting our blood flowing, instead of getting us excited, we're so familiar with Jesus that we're bored by him. And that's almost blasphemous. But that's how many of us approach our relationship with the God of this universe. Can you imagine? We run out of stuff to get excited about with Jesus. The God of this universe who has eternal, infinite amount of stuff to praise him about. And we run out of stuff. In our prayer times, they're listless and lifeless. Our times of thanksgiving and praise are half-hearted. Most often because we think we know who Jesus is. But if we really knew who Jesus was in the depths of our hearts, it would show in our passion, in our fear of the Lord. How many of you are struck with this apathy? I think for many of us, it's just plain old idolatry. The reason why we do not proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ is because we have these other idols that we think are bigger and greater and more valuable and more awesome than Jesus Christ. And we think that in our minds we say we love Jesus, but in reality there are these things in our lives that we love more, whether it's our gadgets, whether it's that one person's attention, whether it's success, whether it's our bank account, whatever it might be. And we start making Jesus as small as what we think he is because of the idolatry in our hearts. Our problems are ignorance and apathy and idolatry. And that's why we don't proclaim the excellencies of Christ. That's why we have to address this at a heart level. We really do. And in our church, we're going to constantly address the sin in our hearts. Many of us, it's not very popular to talk about sin. But we have to talk about sin because we have to expose those areas, the idolatry in our hearts or the apathy in our hearts or the ignorance in our hearts. Because Jesus called them to live their lives now out of darkness and in his light. These people were once in darkness. The people that Peter were addressing were once in darkness, sinfulness, deceit, lostness, guilt, fear, shame. And Jesus literally moved them into the light of righteousness and truth and direction and confidence. This calling is definitive. It is clear. Living in the light will always entail proclamation. It will always be different than darkness. Inherently, by its very nature, light and darkness are different. But how many of us we can really say, and what's indicated out of our lives is that we live in the light. Because I know many of us, we live in still in darkness with guilt and secrets and shame and lostness and lies in our lives. Sometimes I pull out my hair when I think about us, think about myself and how much we live in and exist and tolerate the darkness in our lives. That's why we got to grow and understand who Jesus is. How did the responsibilities relate exactly to their identities as Christ followers? Now, remember what I said. as in our identities, we got to live up to our identities, right? We got to live up to who Jesus has made us as disciples of Jesus Christ. I want to. We need to figure this out. I'm going to share a little bit more of the principles, but I'm going to actually. I asked our sister Fenny to just share for herself her own experience, especially participating in the missions project where we sent her and a lot of our single and married adults out to Papua, and now she's trying to live that out. I'm just going to ask Fenny. Can we all smile? Welcome her up here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Fenny. Let me start today by sharing with you a little bit about my life story. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, but it was not until Easter Sunday in 2012 that God revealed the depth of my sinfulness and opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel. I was so humbled by the true knowledge of how Christ had died for me and through which I have been saved. However, even after experiencing the gospel so personally, I've never recalled a time sharing the gospel so intentionally with anyone else. I was very self-centered, and many times I had let fear persuade me to keep things to myself just in case people around me find me weird. This past June, I was privileged to be a part of AMP team who spent 1 week in Papua, and the experience had completely changed my heart and my perspective about sharing the gospel. I was so blessed to meet so many Papuans who were so open and, in fact, so hungry to hear about Christ. Not only were they hungry, through the life struggles which they shared with us, God showed me how desperately they needed God. And I soon realized that my call for missions is not limited to that 1 week in Papua, but it is an ongoing mission all throughout my life. On the plane back from Papua, I was reminded of names after names of people whom God has placed in my life to share the gospel with. Honestly, sharing the gospel does not instantly become easier for me after the missions trip. I still fear awkwardness and rejections from the people closest to me. However, I learned that when you make yourself ready and available for God, He will work through you. Since Lent season earlier this year, I've been praying for some of my closest friends. I managed to share the gospel with two of them since I came back from Papua. It was not at an appointed time, but it was during one of those random conversations that God opened the door for me to share the gospel. As they shared with me about the difficulties that they face in life, I spoke to them about my personal experience with Christ and how significant He has been in my life. I spoke of how Jesus has transformed my life ever since I knew of the truth of the gospel. These opportunities had turned up so many times before, but I was too fearful to embrace it and never willing enough to take the risk. But now, my desire for them to know Christ outweighs my fear of awkwardness. When God gave me the gift of understanding the gospel, I understood that it was also my responsibility to share this gift with others. My friends have not accepted Christ yet, but they are constantly in my prayers, and I believe that God will touch them one day. After sharing the gospel, there comes another responsibility to lead a life that is worthy to be called a Christ follower. It is not easy, but I believe God will enable me. I feel like this missions trip was a short preview of God's intended purpose for my life in this world, to joyfully share the gospel that has touched me and changed my life. I am so humbled to be a part of it and to catch a glimpse of God's heart for His people. Thank you.
Praise God. I guess the question that we have, that we always have to ask ourselves is, we got to figure this out. How do we proclaim Christ where we are? In our workplace, or in our home, or in our neighborhood. And, you know, when we think about our identity, first, the chosen race, they're not supposed to be passive, but they're supposed to proactively proclaim Christ's supremacy. You know, there's often an untruth that is out there about election, right? That's a confusing term. But oftentimes, when we think about election or predestination, according to the Bible, it's not that the elect don't need to evangelize. According to this verse, God's elect proclaim. They're called to share the gospel and share about Christ's excellencies to others. So we need to continue to reach out to our campus, to Upeha. We're called to reach out to people in our community here in Lipo Karawaci. We're called to reach out to people and to share who Jesus is as a chosen race. Second, as a royal priesthood that would intervene in the world and intercede. on behalf of it. We worship God with the excellence by which we live for a higher purpose. And that's why I want all of us, and in the work that you do as a student, the work that you do in your office or in your school, the work that you do at home, you do with excellence because we live for God. I think that also means that we are people who pray. Not just say that we pray, but we are a church that prays. We're looking for avenues. I think one of the things is we need help. We need training in this. And so part of it for us is looking for ways. You know, I mentioned before, we're going to be having the basement, the condo basement, we're going to be renting that area out for kind of like a small chapel for us to have different prayer gatherings, and whether it's morning prayer or chapel times for people to just use during the day. But we want to be a church that prays. Third, the holy nation would figure out how to be engaged in the world while remaining holy Jesus's. This was our Lord Jesus' prayer that night at Gethsemane before he was crucified, right? John 17, verses 15 through 18. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So we got to figure this out. I think this is where in our life groups it's so important that we bring in the real world into our discussions. Let's not make our Bible study these abstract theory, but how can we proclaim Christ in our context? Let's figure it out. Single adults, let's figure out how we can bring Christ into our workplaces. Students, we got to talk about in your life groups, how are you going to bring Christ and how are you going to proclaim Christ in your classroom and with your classmates? Let's figure out how to do this. We need to be engaged in the world, but we also need to be remaining holy as Jesus is. Lastly, people for his own possession, we have to be surrendered to God's will no matter what. No matter what. We often talk about the four evers that we have to be surrendered to. We have to be surrendered to whomever. We have to be surrendered to wherever. We have to be surrendered to whenever. And we have to be surrendered to doing whatever that God calls us to do. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? And many of us this year, we're going to be in positions where we have to make those kinds of decisions. Where are we surrendered to God's will, or are we going to do our own thing? Where God's called us to love certain people or to go somewhere or to stay put or to serve in some way. And what we have to say is, God, I'm surrendered because I'm not my own anymore. I'm yours. So how can we be this kind of church that is faithful to our God-given responsibilities? Let me go through this quickly. God has given us a 2020 vision that are our God-given goals that we have up through 2020. Vision simply is God, a God-given destination that a church is moving towards. Our vision can be summarized by the acronym PLAN, okay? It's up here. P stands for planting churches near university campuses in global cities. And so an important part of this, and our goal is we want to, as HMCC churches, not just our church, but the global HMCC family, we want to plant 10 churches by 2020. One key part of this that Thanksgiving is to raise up more pastors. This year in our church, we have two pastoral interns. You guys probably both know them, John and Eric, and they're in this phase right now before they join the staff officially as pastors, where they're doing an internship year to kind of refine that calling. And that's going to be an important part of planting churches on campuses in global cities. L is for leveraging adults and students for a new missions movement. Our goal is, as a global family of churches, we want to send 1,000 students and adults on missions projects by 2020. And we, through that, believing that some will have a call to be missionaries somewhere else, and we're all will feel a call to be participating in world evangelization through prayer, through supporting, through giving, whatever it might be. A stands for addressing global issues through the Transformosphere movement. The Transformosphere movement is to see how God transforms societies through his people, through commerce, through health, through arts and media, religious institutions, government and politics, education, and domestic issues. Many of you are involved in those areas where you should be on the forefront of bringing transformation. or you should figure it out. Lastly, N, networking together for training and partnership. We want to network together with other churches as well as within HMCC churches. You know, in light of church plants on college campuses, we started a Jakarta outpost in West Jakarta. We sent out a couple brothers to live out there, now ministering specifically to Trisakti and Untar, which is in West Jakarta. They live right out there by Central Park Mall and Taman Anggrek. And so I'm going to have Ressa just share about his experience so far in the Jakarta outpost.
Hi, everyone. So I got the chance, I got the privilege to join the team who is sent by our church to minister to the city of Jakarta. So last month, in the month of September, we actually moved and live in the city. And as I was preparing this update, I was just reflecting and looking back. So I want to share two sites. A couple updates from two sides of the Jakarta outpost. The first one is about our ministry in the single adults life group in Jakarta. We believe that we are really called to minister more and invest more in the life of the single and working adults in Jakarta. So this starts with the life group that is already running in the city. So as I was just looking back and how our life group started this past August and up how it's been going up until now. And I can really see that God has been moving really powerfully in the lives of the members of the life group. And people are starting to open up. People are starting to share more openly about different struggles, you know, their lives and difficulties that they face in the workplace as they're living out their calling to be a disciples of Jesus Christ. And what's even more a blessing than that is that they are sharing about different testimonies that they get to share the gospel with different people who are not believers, with pre-Christians. And this just blessed me beyond measure. And another thing that I want to share is just this is the kind of culture that we want to see being built up in the community, in the life group, as well as in the city of Jakarta. We want to see people, you know, encouraging each other, being open and vulnerable to share with each other and supporting each other through prayer and through sharing and giving. So I also got a chance to share, to connect with different single adults who are not part of Jakarta Life Group. As I was just, you know, walking through the mall and then maybe grabbing my meal or dinner, I just got a chance to join a couple single adults who are there in the restaurant that I was eating at. And they are very open to me. They're really accepting and they're sharing, you know, about their work, their lives. And I see that as I got a chance to share more about my calling and the gospel to them, I see that they are really open to it, and there's a hunger for them for the gospel. There's a definite gap in their lives that needs to be filled by God, and this really affirms that you know, we're really called to minister more to the city. And another side of the Jakarta outpost is that we're reaching out to two campuses, which is Untar and Trisakti. They're located in West Jakarta. So we've been focusing more on Trisakti. So I've actually had a chance to go to the campus, the Trisakti campus, and I was just so amazed and impressed that the students are really open. They're really engaging. And they shared with me about different dreams that they have, different excitements that they have about life. And I see from what they shared is something that I see is that God is oftentimes missing from what they share. Like when they are sharing about the future, they're sharing about their own dreams and their own ambitions, but there's no God in what they share. So I feel like this should be a burden for us. This should be a burden for our church, you know, to minister to the students in these campuses. And we need to partner together as a church to keep reaching out to these students. And I've seen actually a couple people from Single Adults Jakarta Life Group who are called to join us in reaching out to the students. There are a couple members of Jakarta Life Group who came with Eric, who came who went to Trisakti campus, and they're connecting with the students, they're reaching out, and this gives me this gives us a sense of partnership. You know, it's not just the team that is sent there to reach out to the campus, but it's also, you know, us as a church, us as a body of a church, we move together as a team. We move together as a church to minister to the city. I do have a couple prayer requests for you to support us with. First is please keep praying for the Jakarta Single Adults Life Group so that we can really live out the calling to be a radical community of Jesus Christ, where we really support each other, where we're really devoting ourselves to prayer, to the teaching of the apostles, and to breaking the bread and to fellowship. So and then the second prayer request is please pray for our continuous effort to reach out to the campuses in Jakarta. Pray for us as we get rejected so that we won't get discouraged as we get different responses. We deal with different responses from different students. Pray that we'll never be discouraged, but we'll keep being excited to keep reaching out to them. The third one is please pray for us as we're still in the process of adjusting to living in the city. Please pray that we will not be we'll not get exhausted, we'll not get tired, but we'll continuously be refreshed by the strength from God, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks.
You know, as we are praying for the Jakarta Outpost, it's really a seed for hopefully seeing a church planted in West Jakarta. Some of us, we live in West Jakarta and we come all the way out here. Some of us, you know, we're going to be moving to Jakarta sometime in the future. And we know that these two campuses are actually quite important in the city of Jakarta. And so as these life groups grow, as students come to know Christ and as they gather for Bible study, we're, you know, praying about starting a student life group there. We're praying about as life groups grow that we'll actually plant a church in that area as well. So we don't know exactly when that will happen, but we are praying for that. Just lastly, there really are other ways that God is opening doors as to proclaim His excellencies as a church. This year, like I said, we have a vision in Papua that we're trying to be faithful with, that really seeing Papua's communities transformed with the gospel. We're working together with Papua Inheritance Foundation. We're working together with them. There are a lot of other ways that we can work together with other ministries, especially as we're almost done with getting our visa process finished with Harvest Mission International through Christian Ministries churches. That's our denomination that we're a part of. There can be a lot of opportunities that are open. Also through this other ministry organization called Indonesian Peoples Network, which is how do we reach out to the unreached peoples in Indonesia, and how do we engage with them? And we're working with how we can begin doing that as a church. As we kind of wrap up, this is what we're going to be doing as a church. We'll live out our calling to proclaim Jesus Christ's excellencies to the world. You know, I thought about how we can do this and what direction we can take. I have two life applications for us as we kind of leave from today. First is to persistently pursue to know Jesus Christ in His excellencies, all right? That means we do this through our daily word ministry, through our daily obedience, through our community living out with each other and just growing to know Jesus more in His excellence. That means things like Unite and Revival Meeting. We want Jesus Christ to open our eyes to see how great He is so that we don't have any more ignorance. We fight against apathy. We fight against idolatry. A second thing is to constantly lift up our big prayers. Okay, if you don't have a big prayer, let me explain what it is. It's a bold prayer. That's something that's kind of crazy, right? It's a prayer that's inspired. So be bold, I inspired. That means it comes from God. It's not like something you want to do, but it's something that God is putting on your heart as you're praying, as you're walking with God. And G stands for God-sized, something that only God can do, something that we definitely won't be able to do. And as we do that, to live out our calling, I'm going to just close out. I wrote my big prayer here that I lift up. I wrote it in October 10, 2010. It says, Lord, may I be a part of a movement in our church to equip and commission disciples to the nations of Indonesia and to the ends of the earth, and disciples who will proclaim Jesus Christ to the world in Jakarta, Indonesia, and beyond, committed to 2020 and beyond. And I just wrote that in my Bible because I know that's what God has called me to do. I know that's what God has called our church to do. And let's live out our calling to proclaim Christ's excellencies to our world. Amen? What I'm going to do is, before you stand, we're going to have a response, a very tangible response for those of you who want to renew your membership to our church. Like I said, I'm not interested in trying to make a Christian club, the biggest Christian club in Lippo Katawachi. I'm looking for people who believe in what we're doing and who will give their life for it. I know that some of you, you're like, I've just been visiting this church. I like it. I really can't commit. Well, I'm glad that you're part of our church, and I'm glad that you're here. And if you're not at a stage right now where you can make that kind of commitment, I'm praying that somewhere down along this line this year, you will be able to make that commitment. Maybe you missed your membership class, and you're like, well, can I still stick around? Of course you can stick around. I'll make sure that you take the membership class next time. Maybe that's your own personal application. But there's a membership renewal form in like some of the chairs, like under your chair or in front of your chair. If you already took experiencing membership and you signed the covenant previously, and you want to renew your covenant for this year, just go ahead and fill that out and sign it, and then just pass it to the aisles, and then our hospitality team will collect them. Okay, and for the rest of us. Can we just be praying? You know, I don't know, wherever you are in your own walk with God. Some of you, God is calling you to make a commitment to follow Christ. And that's an opportunity. I've shared the gospel in this message. It's an identity that's given to us, granted to us by Jesus Christ. And all it takes is you just believe by faith in Him. For some of us, we have to make a commitment to keep growing, to keep living out and living up to our identities that are in Jesus Christ. And so let's continue to do that by understanding Jesus' excellencies, by lifting up big prayers in our lives, in our relationships with God this year. Can I ask you guys to all stand? Hopefully you had time to fill that out.